they are thoughts about the disciples who first drew close to Christ, bring us to one who shows up in a few more places than some of the ones we've looked at in the last couple of sessions. This is about Philip, Philip the Courageous. But we couldn't always call him that, because as he walked with Jesus, that was probably not a trait that really described him. Hear the word of the Lord from John chapter 14. Here Jesus is talking to his disciples. Just like last week, he's telling them he's about to leave them. And unlike Thaddeus' response we heard about last week, hear how Philip interjects into Jesus' words, beginning at verse 6. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus said, "Have you been so long with me, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and that the Father works in me? The works that I say, the words that I speak, I do not speak on my own initiative, but it is the Father who is abiding in me that does his work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Otherwise, believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, I say to you, the one who believes in me, the works that I do, they will also do. And greater works than what I do, they will do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that God the Father will be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." Great Wolf Lodge is a water park for young families in Niagara Falls. Maybe you've seen the new commercial they just put out. It's of two little kids, a younger brother and a little bit older sister. And they're just arriving at the park and they're so excited. And the littler one, the boy, runs in first and says, "Me first." And he's running to all the different slides and all the different things there saying, "First, first." And they're always in competition, just like siblings are. And then at one moment in the commercial, you see they're both of the kids' heads go straight up. They're looking at the ceiling to the tallest slide in the whole park. And the boy says, "You can go first." This boy reminds me of Philip, because every time he shows up with Jesus, he seems like he's very eager, but yet cautious. Not courageous, cautious. The first time we find Philip, he's in the very first chapter of John's Gospel. And he goes to tell Nathaniel, his friend, "Nate, you got to come and see. We found the one we've been searching for." Nate says, "How can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Rather than argue, Philip says, "Just come and see." Yeah, doesn't want to go there with Nathaniel, but wants him to come here and see. Then in chapter 6, he's with Jesus and the 12, and they're traveling to the far side of the sea, and all this crowd follows them, and they've been there all day, and they're hungry. And Jesus turns to Philip and says, "Where can we get the money to feed this group of people?" Scriptures tell us that Jesus was testing Philip to see if he was going to be cautious or if he was going to be courageous. Philip says, "Well, we could work it for 8 months and not have enough money to come up with enough to feed even a bite to these people." Oh, Philip, you're so cautious. Then just a couple chapters ago, here in Jerusalem, they are coming into the city, and some Greeks come up to Philip and say, we would like to talk to Jesus. Can you take us to him?" Philip goes to Andrew and says, "Do you think Jesus? I don't know." He's cautious again. And here, Jesus is saying what you will do and what you will have. And Philip, in cautious custom, says, "Just show us the Father, then we'll know. I'm not quite confident. I'm cautious about this. This seems pretty radical, Jesus." And then Jesus goes on to say, "You don't need to be shown. You've already seen. Come on, Philip. Come on, man. Get a backbone. This is what you can do. You're with me. You've got all the power in the world. I'm in the Father. The Father is in me. I'm going to be in you. It's going to work. You can ask me anything." And he says it twice in a row. "I will do it. Ask anything. I will do it." Be courageous, Philip. Stop being so cautious. Wow. It's quite a promise. anything you ask for. Because I'm close to Jesus, anything I pray for, God will do. Anything I ask for, Jesus will give, or vice versa. God will hear, Jesus will give, right? Wow. Well, I don't know, but Philip just kind of slinks into the background from this moment until the Spirit comes, the Spirit of Jesus. And then it's a whole different ballgame. Then Philip is the most courageous of the disciples. In fact, he gets tagged. Right after the church is growing like mad in Jerusalem and everybody who comes through town is hearing about Jesus and they're coming to the Lord by the hundreds almost every day. And there's just so many people, they want to care for the needy, the widows especially, and give them food to help them out. And it becomes a problem. And the disciples say we should pray and we could set aside 7 people who will function as deacons and they'll do the work of the ministry so that we can do the preaching and the teaching part. And the only one of the 12 who gets picked to be a deacon is Philip. And the scripture tells us that he's chosen because he's full of grace and the Holy Spirit. Full of power and the Holy Spirit. Wow. Not the Philip I remember from just a few months ago with Jesus. This one's full of power and the Holy Spirit. In fact, he's identified right after Stephen as one who amazingly exhibits power and courage and is going to get out there and get in the trenches and get it done. Wow, Philip, something's changed in you, hasn't it? Then a couple chapters later, in chapter 8, Stephen, the first of those 7 deacons, gets stoned to death, and the church scatters. They got to get out of Jerusalem. They're going to try and kill us all. And the very first of the 12 disciples who gets on the road to preach the gospel isn't Peter. It isn't John. It isn't Andrew. It's Philip. As soon as Stephen is dead, Philip takes off on the road and he goes to Samaria. The Spirit leads him and he just does it. And there he starts to preach and people start to be miraculously healed. Wow, Philip. Way to be first out of the box, man. And as he's watching these people be healed, they're coming to faith because they see the power of God is at work. And he's preaching to the Samaritans. He's the first one to obey Jesus' command to Jerusalem and to Samaria. Philip. On the cutting edge of the spear. And then, strangely, a magician sees Philip and watches all this and says, "You have a power I don't understand or have. I need this kind of power." So not just Samaritans, those half-breeds, but also people who practice divination arts. Someone who sees the supernatural and sees that God is at work decides, because Philip was courageous, to follow. In fact, we're told that everyone else hears about what Philip is doing and Peter and John come to see if they can help out. You're in the back seat, Peter. You're not the leader right now. And then Philip can't be stopped. The Spirit tells him, "I want you to go down the road and there you're going to see a man in a chariot. And I want you to run beside the chariot." Really? Well, I don't know. I've seen some chariots. I've never seen one in real life, but on TV they seem to go way faster than a person who can run. But Philip decides he's going to do it. And he's courageous, and he's going to track with that chariot. Now, I don't know if that was a supernatural thing or a Usain Bolt thing, but whatever, he keeps up with the chariot. And the Ethiopian who's inside the chariot, who's a eunuch, who's reading the text of Isaiah, he knows what he's saying. And somehow, he says, "Come up here. Do you know what this is about? I don't understand this." And Philip suddenly becomes a teacher of Africans. Who thought? Who knew? "Philip, if you just go and put it all out there, you courageous thing you, God might lead you to someone who totally hasn't the same experience as you." Really? A eunuch who's an African from another country? Totally not my universe. Uh-uh. And so he does. And the eunuch believes and says, "Is there any reason I shouldn't be baptized now?" "No, not at all. Here's some water. Let's stop. Let's do this thing." And he does it. And then something even more crazy and amazing happens. We're told that Philip is spirited away. He's just gone, like on a space movie, beamed up to somewhere else. And he suddenly appears at Azotus. Azotus. Azotus was a Roman city. It had been the Philistine capital of Ashdod, but it had been walked over so many times by all the emperors because it was right on the coast between Egypt going up to where the trade routes were. But now it had been rebuilt by the Romans. In fact, by one of the generals named, what was his name? Well, it escapes me. But he built it up and gave it to his niece and made it her oceanside retreat. So it was a Roman place of the posh and the elite. Philip, bold as he is, goes there. Wow, Philip, you're the first person to go preach to the Samaritans. You're the first person to preach to the Africans, and you're the first person to preach to the Romans. I'd say you really put yourself out there. It's amazing how even the most timid, cautious person can become when the Spirit of Jesus enters them. And Philip's at the edge of the spear. He puts himself out there. I don't know where he went after that. After he shows up in Azotus preaching to the Romans, he just kind of disappears off the map. Who knows? Maybe he's so far ahead of the curve that they couldn't even keep up with the stories of what God did through him. You see, when you come close to Christ, Jesus says, don't you get it? You can do amazing things because you're close to me. I can be like Philip. Amazing things can be to happen to us. We can speak in amazing ways. We can have physical powers we never dreamed of. We might even be spirited away to a place no one who's Jewish ever goes. Whatever happened to Philip? Well, somewhere he's way out there ahead of everybody else. Right in touch with the Spirit on the edge of the spear, as I've already said. Tradition tells us that he eventually found his way to Hierapolis, which is now in Turkey, not far from where Ephesus was. In fact, it wasn't even a town. It was just this place where all these temples were built outside the city of Laodicea. We're told that Philip was there, and he actually settled there, and he had a family, and he had daughters. And the daughters grew up, and they were prophetesses, powerful prophetesses. And one day in this holy city of Hierapolis, where every god was worshipped, but where Philip was bold to speak about the god he knew, the local officials became so upset about the power that Jesus was doing in that place that they decided they had to get rid of Philip. And so they tortured to kill him. In fact, the symbol on the front of your bulletin shows three things that maybe will remind you of whatever became of Philip. The first thing is a basket. A basket to remind us of his cautious days when he said, well, Jesus, I don't think even 8 days, 8 months worth of salary could pay enough for just a little bit for these people. But then the other two symbols are the symbols of his bravery. A cross on which he was suspended and crucified, but in a bizarre, unusual way. And also a spear that was used to pin him to the cross by his ankles. Philip was at the edge of the spirit like the head of a spear, and he ended up suffering and paying for, with his life, his confession of Christ. But he did so gladly, and even as he hung there, he spoke the truth about Jesus. And we're told that well after he died, his daughters continued the ministry with great power until they also reached an older age and passed to be with the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your servant Philip, who is willing to take the inspiration of your Spirit and go to Samaritans and run alongside a chariot and explain the ancient prophecies to an African and land in a Roman city and never be hesitant, never be cautious again. Thank you for the power with which you made him the first. For even though there were years of caution with Jesus, it was not too late to do amazing things. We are glad that you also call us, just like you did to Philip, to say, ask whatever you will in my name. I will do it. What an amazing promise. Help us, Lord, to be courageous like your servant, to ask for the things that you would have us ask for. We look forward to what you will do, how you will spirit us away, how you will do amazing things through us because of Jesus, your answer to our prayers, now and forever. Amen.